DiscerningHearts.com, in cooperation with the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, presents Spiritual Desolation. Be aware, understand, take action with Father Timothy Gallagher. Father Gallagher is a member of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, a religious community dedicated to retreats and spiritual formation according to the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola. He is featured on several series found on the Eternal Word television network. He is also author of numerous books on the spiritual teachings of St. Ignatius of Loyola and the Venerable Bruno Lanteri, founder of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, all published by the Crossroads Publishing Company. This particular series is based in part on Chapter 4 of Setting Captives Free, Personal Reflections on Ignatian Discernment of Spirits. Spiritual Desolation. Be aware, understand, take action with Father Timothy Gallagher. I'm your host, Chris McGregor.
Yet another quality that I've seen over the years with regard to spiritual desolation is the relationship between physical struggles and spiritual desolation. And I just notice in my own experience, and I'm obviously sure that I'm not by any means alone in this, that when I am experiencing physical struggles, I am much more vulnerable to spiritual desolation. And you know, it's a little humbling to say it, but I don't mean necessarily major physical struggles, certainly when those are present. If you have a surgery and the recovery is slow and you worry about the future and there's some pain as you're recovering, that can be one situation. But, you know, earlier this year, a lot of us were catching this flu that didn't seem to want to pass. And at some point, I caught some version of that. So for about 3 weeks or so, I didn't have my normal energy and struggled just to do the ordinary things. It's in that kind of situation, or even humbler, the thing, maybe just haven't slept well, you know, one of us for a couple of nights, and there's a tiredness as we go through the day. But when we get to that point where physical issues weigh on us, and then there's potential worry about what's going on and how long is this going to last, that I find is a space where it's very easy to get tripped up into spiritual desolation, and specifically the worry about it. Where is this going? How long is this going to last? Am I going to get over this? Why does this keep happening? It's a future-directed kind of thing, as we've said already about spiritual desolation. So I've learned that when I notice that kind of vulnerability to spiritual desolation, experience repeatedly shows me that the worries are a lot bigger than the reality. So again, when I'm at my most spiritually aware, and it's a little harder when you're not feeling well, but when I am spiritually aware, I'll notice that and turn to prayer to the Lord and just say, Lord, I know my worries right now are a lot bigger than the way this is. You're going to get me through this. You always do in these situations. And it helps a lot. You know, that's rule 6, actually, prayer and examining what's going on when you're in a time of desolation. So I don't have to go on at length about this, but I just want to say that I think in times of physical struggles, when we're not feeling well, it's easy then to get caught into spiritual desolation because we can tend to worry more than the Lord certainly wants us to worry at such times. So just seeing that can help us negotiate the physical struggles, please God, with less of that spiritual burden, you know.
Father Gallagher, in that physical struggles, and we've talked about the other non-spiritual desolation events that can occur in our lives, that we need to be patient through those as well, and give time an opportunity to kind of help not only heal our bodies, but realize, for example, grief. Grief is something that can occur in our lives. It could be as devastating as the loss of a loved one. It could be the loss of a job. It could be a number of things. But sometimes grieving, it's a natural part of how we are made to cope with things and to adjust to a change. And that can take as little as a week. It might take a year. It could be a very long time, but I understanding it and giving that some space, it doesn't mean that it has to affect our spiritual life. I mean, it may be another area that we can open up to God to come in and to unite with us through that.
Yes, I think that's the key thing. It's very helpful at such times, in addition to all the healthy emotional, relational kinds of things we can do and should do at such times, to be accompanied, you know, in healthy ways. It's very helpful spiritually to share this space in our heart with the Lord, not to keep it simply closed within us. So if you look at the Psalms, as I think I probably said earlier somewhere in these conversations, that's all that they are. They're an outpouring of the heart, whether joyful or in pain or in urgent distress, praising God, whatever. But it's an outpouring of the heart, and it's a beautiful biblical model for what we need to do at such times spiritually. Open that space in our hearts to the Lord. Share with the Lord the pain, the burden, the loss that we're feeling. And know, to repeat a word I used earlier, that the Lord is eager to be with us there, wants to be with us there, does not want us to be alone with it. You have those lovely words of Jesus that come up at various points in the Gospel of John. I am not alone. This night you will all leave me, Holy Thursday night, but I am not alone because the Father is with me. And it's very important for us to know that we aren't alone, and that there is one who is just waiting for our permission to be with us and to share with us what we're experiencing, eager to do that. So that's a very beautiful prayer at such times, to be walking with the Lord through these experiences. But having said that, yes, I mentioned physical struggles, but any kind of vulnerability is a space where spiritual desolation could enter. And so to respond in healthy human and spiritual ways is really a great blessing at such times. Now, this brings us to the all-important question. All right, that's spiritual desolation. Now we understand it. We understand how it's distinct from the dark night and the cross. We're more alive to various qualities of it. So our awareness and our understanding is growing with regard to it. Well, what should we do in time of spiritual desolation? And so I'm just going to name this quickly. We began this series by recalling the entire set of rules so that we had a context for the rule on spiritual desolation that we're exploring. And on the other end of this now, I don't want to leave this description of spiritual desolation without naming again the concrete steps that we can take to resist it. And basically, Ignatius goes through these in rules 5 through 14, the final 9 rules in the series. So his classic rule 5, if you're in a time of spiritual desolation, this is the first thing, stand your ground. Don't let the enemy into the territory of what you've decided that you do spiritually before that desolation began. Rule 5 of itself does an awful lot because it maintains safely the pillars of our spiritual life that we need at such a time. And then Rule 6, these are the active steps we can take to change the way we're facing the desolation. And so that recourse to prayer of petition, calling to mind truths of faith that can sustain us, maybe Bible verses, examining this, looking at it, how did this get started, what's going on here, and then instead of just fleeing into diversion or some kind of gratification, suitable gestures of penitential courage, as we said earlier. In Rule 7, a set of thoughts to consider in time of desolation. This is a trial, it's within God's providence. The reason for it is so that we may resist it, and by resisting grow in the ability to resist it. And then to call to mind that we can resist it. When the desolation is crying out to us, you're too weak, you're going to give in. No, I can resist because God's grace is with me sufficiently. I have all the grace I need to get through this. Rule 8, Ignatius calls to mind the key virtue, work to be in patience. Stay the course. Don't give up. One person to whom I was teaching the rules said, this is the way I see it. It's like you're driving, you stay in your lane. And the thought that will help us to remain patient in desolation is that it's going to pass consolation is going to return, and this is going to happen much sooner than the desolation would have me believe. And then a repetition, Ignatius, once again calls to mind the four means that we just saw in Rule 6. Rule 9, the key question, well, why do I have to go through this? Why does a God who loves me permit me to go through this desolation? And the three reasons Ignatius gives when we're negligent, at fault someplace, so that the desolation wakes us up, as it were, to a need to reintegrate that aspect of our spiritual life into growth toward God. And then two other reasons which have nothing to do with any faults on our parts, simply as a trial that God may permit because we grow as we go through it. And then in permitting spiritual desolation, we learn in the flesh, as it were, that the joy of consolation is not our doing but God's grace. And that keeps us humble, and humility opens us to all further growth in virtue. In Rule 10, Ignatius invites us to look ahead when we are in time of consolation and serenely know that eventually at some point desolation will return, and live the morning, the day, the week, the several weeks of spiritual consolation in such a way that we're storing up strength that will help us resist the desolation when it returns. In Rule 11, Ignatius pulls it all together and, as I said earlier, paints the portrait of the mature person of discernment. Remain humble in consolation and trusting in desolation. And then in the last three rules, Ignatius highlights three qualities of the enemy's temptation so that seeing those, we'll be able to resist them well. And the importance in Rule 12, the importance of standing firm right in the very beginning of the temptation, before the snowball can start rolling down the mountain. And if we do that, the enemy's essential weakness is revealed. In Rule 13, the enemy's urging to keep his temptations and burdens silent, hidden in our hearts, so that the burden can go on. And the warm invitation to break the spiritual silence, to speak with a wise and competent spiritual person. And then finally, in Rule 14, the fact that we can serenely recognize that somewhere in the whole of our spiritual lives, there is a place where all of us individually are most vulnerable to the enemy's discouragement and lies and temptations, and to grow in self-knowledge to the point where we know what that is and we're working to strengthen it, at which point the enemy's task gets an awful lot harder because that weak point is no longer weak.
We'll return to Spiritual Desolation, Be Aware, Understand, Take Action with Father Timothy Gallagher in just a moment. Did you know that you can obtain a free app which contains all your favorite Discerning Hearts programs? Father Timothy Gallagher, Dr. Anthony Lillis, Archbishop George Lucas, Father Mauritius Fildi, and so many more, including episodes from Inside the Pages, can be obtained on the Discerning Hearts free app. This also includes all the novenas and devotionals and prayers, including the Holy Rosary and Stations of the Cross, the Chaplet of St. Michael, and the Seven Sorrows of Our Lady, all available on the Discerning Hearts free app. Visit the iTunes and Google Play app stores to obtain your free Discerning Hearts app today. A prayer for the intercession of Venerable Bruno Lanteri. O Father, fountain of all life and holiness, you gave Father Bruno Lanteri great faith in Christ your Son, a lively hope, and an act of love for the salvation of his brethren. You made him a prophet of your word and a witness to your mercy. He had a tender love for Mary, and by his very life he taught fidelity to the Church. Father, hear the prayer of your family, and through the intercession of Father Lanteri, grant us the grace for which we now ask. May he be glorified on earth, that we may give you greater praise. We ask this through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Litany of Humility.
O Jesus, meek and humble of heart,
hear me. From the desire of being esteemed,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being loved,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being extolled,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being honored,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being praised,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being preferred to others,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being consulted,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being approved,
deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being humiliated,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being despised,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of suffering rebukes,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being calumniated,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being forgotten,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being ridiculed,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being wronged,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being suspected,
deliver me, Jesus. That others may be loved more than I,
that others may be esteemed more than I,
that in the opinion of the world, others may increase and I may decrease,
that others may be chosen and I set aside,
that others may be praised and I unnoticed,
that others may be preferred to me in everything,
that others may become holier than I, provided that I become as holy as I should.
Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it.
Amen.
The Councils of Mercy, an excerpt from the writings of Venerable Bruno Lanteri, founder of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary.
Keep constantly before you these two proposals that I urge you to renew often and with a holy persistence. First, never to offend God knowingly, and second, if you should fall, never to persevere in this with your will, but with humility and courage, to rise immediately and begin again, firmly convinced that God forgives you in the instant itself, that which humility and trust you ask is forgiveness.
For more excerpts from the writings of Venerable Bruno Lanteri, visit discerninghearts.com.
Hello, my name is Deacon Omar Gutierrez, and I want to ask you to support Discerning Hearts in a special way. We, Chris McGregor, the board, and I all know that not everyone listening can help financially. We know we have listeners from all parts of the world, and we have made a commitment since the beginning to make the truths shared through Discerning Hearts totally free. So while you may not be able to contribute financially, what you can do is certainly pray, but also give us positive reviews on whatever platform you use to listen to us. If it's iTunes, Android, Stitcher, or Spotify, however it is that you get these podcasts, or if you're on YouTube and you like our videos, please give us a good rating and write a review. The more good ratings and reviews we get, the higher our profile, and the more listeners will discover us, listeners who may have the means to contribute in the future. Please consider rating us and writing a positive review today.
We now return to Spiritual Desolation. Be aware, understand, take action, with Father Timothy Gallagher.
Now that's a very rapid description of rules 5 through 14, and consciously so, because we've done that elsewhere. So I would refer the listener who might say, I really like a bit more on that, to our earlier set of podcasts on the discernment of spirits, where we go in detail through each of those rules, or of course the book on which that's based. And there you will find the full teaching. So that what we've done in this series is to explore the nature of spiritual desolation, so that as we have a clearer perception of it, we will all the more be able to, I hope and I'm confident that we'll have more confidence and hope that we actually can resist it. And we will refer with all the more confidence and energy to the tools that Ignatius gives us in those final 9 rules to help us actually, in the stuff of daily life, resist and reject the spiritual desolation. Now, the final thing that I'd like to do is to just share a few personal examples of how I have found the rules helpful in resisting spiritual desolation. And these are in the book. I'm just going to give a few of them. And as I explained, I think, as we began this series, these are taken from my own journal. I'm a writer. A journal helps me in the spiritual life. Over the years, I have found it helpful in this living the discerning life to note in writing the different experiences of spiritual consolation and spiritual desolation. And that helps me a lot to learn to see more clearly. Now, when I did that over the years, I never ever remotely dreamed that I would include some of this in a book. But I was moved to do so. That's the subtitle of the book, Personal Reflections on Ignatian Discernment of Spirits. Moved to do so, as I said earlier in this series, because my experience is so ordinary. You know, there's nothing exalted about it. It's just the stuff of the spiritual life that we all live. And I really am confident that in holding it up, what I'm really doing, again, as I said earlier, is just holding up a mirror to what we all experience in my own individual circumstances, but certainly very common, ordinary spiritual experience that I think we'll all recognize in our own different settings, but we'll recognize the commonality of the experience. All right, the first of these is, this was an early morning, and I was sitting in church after a time of prayer. And this was, the context is that this was a time after my father had passed away that my mother was alone, and we were worried about the safety of having her at home at this point. And so we were all chipping in various ways, and what I did was, this was a time when I was working on a book. I took up residence in a parish nearby where my mom lived, was helping out a bit in the parish, was doing the writing, and then also was able to stay in regular contact with my mom and assist in the various ways that were helpful. So that was the setting. So, and I wrote this. As I sit here in church this morning, there is a heaviness in my heart. Part of it is poor sleep last night. And part also is the uncertainty of how to deal with the situation at home, how to assist my mom in the way she needed. Now, this seems a little odd, but I'm going to apply the categories of discernment to my own experience here just as an illustration. So what I'm describing there is a non-spiritual vulnerability, poor sleep, so I'm tired, and then uncertainty of how to deal with a situation that is not easy for us to know exactly what to do with, to help a parent who needs help in that situation. I felt too alone yesterday and without much energy. I think, though, so this is where awareness is coming in now, I think, and some understanding. I think, though, that the enemy's lie is getting mixed into the natural tiredness after 3 weeks of this intense routine. So that's what I've been saying all along, that the enemy willingly works in our vulnerabilities. And there was one there, just a physical tiredness and the stress of a situation of being torn in various directions, writing, parish, helping my mom. The voice says quietly, and if the voice spoke too loudly, I might not hear it. So it's just kind of gently insinuated, softly, kind of almost under the radar, you know. The voice says quietly, you are alone. You are getting tired, and it's your own fault. All right, there's the harshness and the accusation coming in. Clearly not the good spirit here. You are pushing too hard and you can't do this anymore. You'll do the work, but it will be with fatigue, and so you'll miss things in the writing. Your creativity will be dulled. You'll get to the end of this writing time utterly worn out. Now, can you see the desolation claiming power over the future? And look how dark it all looks. Now, if you believe that, it's heavy, but if we can identify it, then it breaks into nothing. You'll get to the end of this writing time utterly worn out, and then we'll have to pick up with your travel for ministry. Now hear this next sentence. This is all going to be grinding hard work. Okay, so I'm smiling a little bit now. I wasn't then. But that vocabulary, when you pull desolation out into the light, It's really revealed for the shabby lie that it is. But that's what discernment is all about, is bringing these things to light. So the work, it will be fruitful, yes, but terribly hard. And you won't really have the time you need to finish. The warmth of the closeness of the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit that you experienced in the retreat will fade. Just before beginning that time of writing in the parish, I had made my retreat, and it had been very rich and very blessed. So here in the desolation, claiming power over the future, yeah, that was a nice experience. It's all going to fade, though. It's not going to last. Desolation, claiming power over the future. That's a lot, exclamation point, and it was. Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, help me, protect me, and show me the way. Mary, be with me throughout this day. Obviously, at that time, I wasn't putting names on things, but in our setting now, I think it's appropriate. That was Rule 6. That's the prayer that Ignatius invites us to turn to in desolation, to ask for help. Now I'm examining what's going on here. Objectively, the work has gone well thus far. It has been very fruitful. So when I look at what's actually happened in these 3 weeks, things have really gone well. A lot of very fruitful progress on the writing. I am tired to some degree, and part of it is the delicate balance in knowing how to help at home. So really, objectively, when I pull back from the desolation and look at what was going on, things were going well. It's striking to see the difference between how desolation portrays things to us and the truth and reality.
You've been listening to Spiritual Desolation. Be aware, understand, take action with Father Timothy Gallagher. This particular series is based in part on Chapter 4 of Setting Captives Free, Personal Reflections on Ignatian Discernment of Spirits. You can find this book on Father Gallagher's website at fathertimothygallagher.org. To hear and or to download this episode, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts in cooperation with the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Spiritual Desolation. Be aware, understand, and take action with Father Timothy Gallagher.